first meeting of the new year to order. And roll call. We, Rick Dodge called, he's got the flu. Apparently the government flu shot wasn't too good for him.
Glenn, he's keeping that with him, not sharing with the rest.
Yes, right. Well, two of us just got cold, so we'll try to... But I mentioned earlier that I'm half Irish Catholic, so we're going to try to have this done by 7:30 for the Notre Dame game. So we've got everybody here but Rick. Youth and governance, we are missing one. Asher. Yeah. Over the minutes from previous meetings.
Make a motion to approve. Second.
Moving and seconded to approve the minutes of the previous meeting. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
And the youth and governance was aye. Chairman, committee members, supervisors, youth and governance comments. I mentioned that I ran into some people dug out at the Katy Park this week. And the one man was a balloonist, and he had... worked on the one out of Waterford, so I gave John his card, and could be a little connection there, you know, as we slowly work on these things and try to come up with some movement in a couple of those directions. I don't really have a whole lot, so anybody else? If not, we'll move on to citizens' comments. Any citizens that wish to speak? See none, citizens' comments will be closed. On the Katy Park master plan, John has been working, and he did report last month on the park that he stopped and visited. So we are working, and we thought probably in February we'd have some things put together. So that's where that is on the recommendations that we gave to John in the fall. New business parks.
I sent everybody in their packets a copy of the 2013 park rates. Nothing changed at all. None of the rates increased. The only change that I had was under the pavilion rental information. I plan to change this because in Area 4, we removed part of the concession stand that was inside the pavilion and made the pavilion larger, so it increased it from only holding 50 people to 75. And we also did that in Area 1, and that just happened here in November, early December, when we tore the walls down and opened that up. And I'm not sure how many more people will fit in there, but I think probably at least 18 tables, but I didn't change that yet because I didn't have a chance to stick tables in there and see how much room we had. But that's it for changes in my rates. Everything there has stayed the same.
Any question on the park fees? Supervisor Noodle?
Yes, and the back there, in the Silver Lake Park and all of Sales Park, where it's an annual per year for. And then he's got property owner.
If you're from out of the county and you own property in Kenosha County.
Okay, so anybody that is a resident of Kenosha.
Pardon?
Anybody that is a resident of Kenosha County pays $30, correct? Mm-hmm. Or does he have to be a property owner?
No. Anybody from Kenosha County or.
Resident slash property owner.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Any other questions? Discussion? We have a motion to approve these rates.
So moved.
Moved by Supervisor Noble.
Second.
Second by Supervisor Noodle. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Now, Emerald Ashmore grant funding.
I looked into a urban forestry grant that, when I looked into the grant, I originally looked to see about funding for removal and replacement, removal of the ash trees and then replacement with different species. And the DNR said to be eligible for that, you first have to write, have an Emerald Ash Borer Management Plan written by a professional. So I applied for a grant to write, I sent in the initial application to apply for a grant to fund writing the plan so that we'd be eligible in the future for the funding for the actual field work for removal of the trees and planting. And that's basically what this is. It's a total of 25,000, which of it's 50-50, so 12,500 would be the county's half of the cost for this plan. And again, the important part of it is that we can't get any assistance, you know, in the field work and removal and stuff without the plan. So that's it. I think we were going to take the money from
the Parkland Development.
Parkland Development for the 12,500 for the county's share.
Any questions?
Chairman.
John, what do they mean that they have to have, or you have to have a plan done by a professional? I would consider you a professional because you work for the parks as a profession, right? Or is that you need to be an arborist?
Be an arborist.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So anything just for us to spend some more money?
Yeah.
And we don't have and have never had any that we could just kind of plagiarize off of?
Well, none of us are certified arborists.
Okay. Fair enough. Thanks.
It's a bureaucratic thing. It's just, but John did say that they already informed him. They're just waiting for this because we already got the grant.
Right.
Good.
Any further questions or discussion? We have a motion.
I'll make a motion.
Motion by Supervisor Skolitsky. Second.
Second.
Supervisor Noble. Any other discussion? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Youth and Governance was aye. So, there's that one. Director's report.
First thing is the KD expansion. The county did close with the bank on December 18th, and we went over almost immediately and started doing some cleanup work inside and outside of the buildings, mainly because we have equipment sitting out that's never been able to be under a roof. So we moved all that equipment over and put it in a building, even though we're not, our plans right now aren't to use it for anything else this winter. At least we could get those vehicles in and out of the weather. The fire extinguishers had last been certified in 2008, so I thought, well, we were charging batteries in there and storing equipment, so we had to bring those up to date and took them in and had them recertified and put back. I also had an electrician come out because there's one room in there where the pressure tank is, and a lot of electrical panels, and some of them are 480 volts. And for whatever reason, the panel covers were off of the panels. And I don't know if they were in the process of wiring up things or unwiring things, but there were wires coiled up hanging out of the panels. So I had an electrician come out and tidy that up and close those panels up so they weren't open in the building. And other than that, we did post it as county property and have looked into recycling some of the PVC pipe and scrap iron and things like that are there. And I'll use the youth crew this summer for the bulk of that because most of the recyclers will either bring out a 20-yard dumpster for you to fill and haul it away, and the price is no different than if you truck it yourself. So that'll work out good. The dam project, the only thing I'm working on right now at the moment is the historical requirement, which is a memorial, and the photographic documentation of that footbridge and stuff. So that's going good. Katy Park, the youth fishing derby is scheduled for February 16th, as long as there's ice. And that'll be together with the 4-H fishing program here, but it's for all youth. It's not just for them. The Pringle Nature Center probably will buddy up with us, and they've already volunteered. They want to do the concessions and rent snowshoes if there's enough snow. So that'll be it. It'll be fun. Hopefully this year we can get it done. The guy, Dennis, just in case you go over there, the guys are going to drive all the stakes probably this week for the tent before the ground gets froze much further, and then they'll flag them. So if you see all those iron bars.
I see they cut the trail around that pond to get the tractor around the backside.
Yeah. Nothing from the Pringle Nature Center. I haven't got any minutes from them here for a couple of months, so I'll have to try and track down the secretary over there, see what's going on. January 13th at Silver Lake Park, I issued a permit for a fat tire bike race, and it's actually a little bit of a specialized bicycle with a 5-inch diameter tires, and they race in the snow on trails. And anybody can enter it if you've got the proper equipment. We didn't, they couldn't afford insurance. So when I talked with Bernie about it, he said, don't charge them for the permit, and they can't charge for the race, and then they fall under recreational immunity. So,
have you ever seen those?
I see the tire tracks and looked at them on the internet, but I've never.
There's a guy, and I know we say, you know, you can't have bikes on those trails. I think once we see them, we should allow them, because they don't do any damage. Tires are about like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw this guy, and I'm trying to figure what's going on here. He's going around that outer trail to Kitty Park. In about 15 minutes, he's around that thing. And then he does all the other ones, and they'll go over sand, especially they use it for, because it's got such a floater of a tire.
Right. That's the same guy that's organizing the race.
Is it real?
Gary Lake.
Mm-hmm. He's a big guy.
Is it? Yeah, he is. He came in kind of husky. He came in.
Yeah, he needs those big tires.
And that's all I have.
So when is that?
January 13th.
13th of January.
Does he get quite a few people to come?
He said he figures 100.
Oh, I'd love to go. Yeah, we got to tell people
so
about it.
It's
fun to watch.
If there's a lot of snow, it ought to be real fun.
Yeah. So is that it, John?
That's it.
All righty. We'll move on to golf. We have a furnace problem.
Yeah, we have a resolution in front of you that one of our two furnaces at Brightondale Links has broke down and is currently not working. We have heat in the basement, but we do not have heat upstairs. We have all the water that drained to the entire building. just to a precaution, but we need to repair and replace really the whole heat exchanging unit there, and so we've gotten quotes on that, and it'll be about $13,000. There were no funds specifically allocated in our 2013 budget, so we're asking that we repurpose some leftover capital funds from 2012. And that is what that resolution in front of you is asking to do.
Any questions? Yes, Gabe.
How much would it be to replace it?
We have an estimate on the entire HVAC unit, which was about $150,000 in the 2014 capital budget. Since we've had this problem and we've had several different people out there, we were able to revise that number when we come up with a new capital budget for next year for 2014. We'll be asking for about $75,000. We found ways that we were going to be able to condense what we need to do. We're going to keep the blower unit, and we're going to keep the filter unit, and then we're just going to be replacing the heat exchangers, and that's going to cut that, you know, hopefully about in half. But still, the HVAC, the AC part of it is all going to need to be done. That's where the major expense is going to be.
But we have to get this furnace going for spring.
Right. Yeah, and right now we are at some risk because if that other furnace goes out, you know, then we won't have any
right
in there. So The one furnace currently is keeping the building at about 55 degrees. So.
Thanks, John.
Thank you.
Any other questions or discussion?
This isn't going to impede anything else you wanted to do in the short term?
No.
No, by reallocating. Okay.
Is this on the agenda for tomorrow, or has it got to go through finance first?
It's on for Thursday night at the finance committee.
Think you can wait that long to get a new furnace?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, the current furnace is keeping the building at 55 degrees, and we only have one employee in there, and told him to wear long underwear for a while.
55 to work harder.
Okay, so do we have any other discussion or we have a motion? Moved by Supervisor Noodle to approve.
Second.
Second by Supervisor Sklitsky. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
And other than that, the 2012 golf season wrapped up. You know, we do have some revenue numbers for you. We're about $370,000 ahead of last year, about 13%. We're about 11,000 or 11% over in rounds. We are still working on all the expenses. We're, you know, hoping that, you know, there's no snakes in the grass that we haven't looked at, you know. So we feel really, really well about the 2012 season. I think overall, you know, I mean, after the deficit that we had in 2011 and what we were able to accomplish and the increases that we were able to accomplish, you know, I mean, overall, it's a tremendous, tremendous season. So currently right now, we are working on booking new golf outings for 2013. We're going through all the outings that we've had since I've been here in 2009 and calling everybody and trying to get them to book for 2013. One of the big things that we have coming up is on April 15th, it's a Monday, we have the Wisconsin PGA. All of my peers are having a pro tournament, so it'll be great word of mouth advertising there, everybody that runs the golf courses in Wisconsin, and if we can put on a good show and have decent conditions by April 15th, I think you know, that'll be a lot of good word of mouth advertising. We'll be bringing the proposed golf rates, which will be very similar to this year, to our next meeting in February. The projects that we're working on for 2013 is we just have two major capital projects, and one is the irrigation heads on the blue and the red course that are no longer operational. We will be replacing about 160 of these heads. The capital expenditure, we just did the PO, is about $65,000 for that. And then also, as soon as Gary's up and running with the paving crew, we'd like to do the maintenance shop yard at Brightondale. It's just so broken up that we can hardly get the machinery out without dulling all the blades. So those are going to be our two major capital projects for this year. And and other than that, just wanted to let you know that Jeff Wales, who was our group golf coordinator and supervisor, is no longer with us, and Bob Tierney, who has been our first assistant golf professional at Brightondale, he's worked there for 8 years, has taken over for the main supervisor at Brightondale, and we're trying to get his title to be head golf professional. We're going to the Finance and Administration Committee to get that approved. He can be the head golf professional at Brightondale. He's bringing a lot of energy, a lot of enthusiasm. I'm really, really excited about having Bob there. And, you know, he's just got such a passion. He's played that golf course ever since he's 10. He's a local guy, so he knows so many different people. So, you know, it's great to see the whole operations through fresh eyes, even though he's worked there, you know, but just his excitement and enthusiasm. And he's going to be getting into the PGA program and stuff. So it's great working with Bob.
We good? Any questions for Dan?
This year, we're, the revenue is up about $370,000. It's great, sounds good. And that, but do we have like a bottom number yet, how we come out, or?
We're waiting to close the books. We got all kinds of expenses that still should be coming through as far as medical insurance and work merchants comp and unemployment compensation and all the getting all the finalization of all those. So as soon as we have that information, we'll roll it out to you. But at this time, we don't have that bottom line number.
Okay, so probably should have like the next meeting. Or?
It usually comes out, you know, in March or the April meeting is when it normally comes out. But yeah, well, as soon as we know, we feel good about the whole year, though. I mean. With that kind of increases and the revenues that have increased, we feel very good.
And, the other question is, where we're doing some work or for the blue and red courses, was this, planned to do it, just come up? Wasn't that the red course that we're not going to do anything this year to spend any money on that?
This is just like repair maintenance that we need to do. You know, these are irrigation heads that do not function, that have been put in the ground since 1970, that that need to be replaced. I mean, basically what they do is the head is supposed to spin 360 like this, and it just goes here like this, so you get one side that's completely saturated, and we get, you know, two-thirds of the other side that doesn't get any water at all. This was put through the 2012 budget, the capital budget. It was explained, you know, when we did the budget that there will be some irrigation heads. Those heads will be able to be reused when we do if we're able to continue with the restoration project like we did on the white course this year, and when we do the blue course, and if we do the red course or not, you know, all those heads can be taken off and cannibalized and put into the new system. So it's nothing that we can't use in the future.
I was going to just clarify that there's nothing pipe-wise that's going in the ground, Gabe, that you wouldn't be able to, you know, you're not going to dig up a pipe and move it to the new thing. These are the heads themselves, so the heads themselves can literally be unscrewed and moved to parts of the white course that aren't completely yet, as well as if we don't have enough, and I don't think there's enough to do the whole blue.
Oh, no, not even
so
close.
Those heads, it's just the heads themselves. Right now, it makes sense to put them on a red because there's certain things, like Dan described, you're really screwing things up when you turn the water on. But bottom line is, if there is a decision made down the road to not go forward with the red, those things can literally be unscrewed, and they can be used to finish up the irrigation heads on the blue and the white. So
we did. We did discuss it, and we approved it, and it was in the budget.
Yep. Yeah.
Do we have a rough idea? Maybe we did talk. We did. I don't remember, and apologize for that. How much the cost roughly would be?
Of the whole project, it's $65,000. Of what is going to the red, I don't even think it's half of it. I think most of them are going on
the
blue.
For the 160, is about $65,000.
Yep.
It's $65 for the total.
Right, that's the total amount.
The total 160.
Yep.
That we're replacing.
Yep. Yep, yeah. That's the total amount in that budget for replacing those heads.
Okay.
Anything else? Anything else, Dan? Alrighty then.
Thank you.
Facilities.
See you later.
I imagine 60th Street Tower, I imagine, Ray, that's why you're here.
Yeah, I'm gonna, even though I wish it was better news, I got a chance to talk with the chairman and actually a couple of the committee members before the holidays. We had a meeting right before Christmas with the city, as well as both law enforcement agencies. So basically it was the county exec, city administration. The mayor wasn't there because that, as he read in the paper, was 2 days after he had tore his patellar tendon or whichever one it was in his knee. But the city administrator was there, about three representatives from the KPD, and about three representatives from the sheriff's department. And there was a couple of issues covered there. One was the tower, and the bottom line, without getting into all the details, was the city administrator is not comfortable with allowing us to go ahead with the project until we have full approval from the Department of Natural Resources, kind of via the National Park Service. Unless the chairman wants me to go back and explain, I think everybody's aware of the conversion process that we're working through.
Right.
So that's kind of the bottom line. The city won't let us move forward. We could have, realistically, had the footings poured. Everybody was mobilized. The tower people were mobilized to do the foundations the week after Thanksgiving. With a 28-day cure, we actually would be in a spot to start putting steel up in the next week or so. That is not the case. I have spoke to the DNR, Jim Ritchie, our contact at the DNR, last week, and he indicated that the guy at the National Park Service who's kind of shepherding this through the process is back today. So I didn't get to talk to Jim yet today, but I'll talk to him probably tomorrow and find out what he was able to find out. He still felt reasonably confident that they'd be able to fast-track this through the formal process. That fast-track is still going to take a few weeks. Until we get that formal approval, the city's not willing to let us giddy up and go with stuff. Right now, the weather looks like it's supposed to warm up this week. It's supposed to get mild again, and hopefully things will stay mild and there won't be any issues. The thing that was accomplished, I think, at that meeting just prior to the holidays with the city is that it was clearly laid out to city administration the risks that were on the table, and I just wanted to make sure they clearly understood what those risks were. If the weather does turn south, or north, really, I guess, and gets really cold and we do have an issue, March is typically the month that historically has the ice buildup kind of storms. It's in March. It's not now. So again, hopefully it'll be a mild winter like last year and it won't be a problem. I spoke with the DNR guy last week. That's what I got from him. The tower guy, I talked to him on Thursday. He was ready to mobilize again this week. And I told him, no, we just got to wait till we get a clearance. But he was ready to have the troops down here today, actually, and starting on things. So the site has a blanket on it. I believe they put straw under that, too, as a little added layer, just to keep the ground from freezing if it does really, the temps really do drop. So it minimizes the freeze. But other than that, we're kind of sitting tight. We're still working on pulling the other pieces together. For the building, the support building, and the quotes for the electrical work to kind of tie everything together. But at this point, we're just getting everything ready so that when we finally do get the green flag, we can do what we got to do to get it done.
Well, there's no sense in replaying any of this. We just have to, even though the DNR told us about 6 weeks ago, we could go ahead.
Right. Right. We got that both verbally and in writing.
Yeah, and the city did too.
Yes.
Yeah, so we're just stuck with their game. Well, thanks for sticking with it, Ray. I know that.
Yeah, we will. We're going to get it. We're going to get it done one way or the other.
Park and ride structure.
All the hardware is in place for the park and ride. The only thing holding back the opening is we're waiting for some bank information. Once we get that to Amano, they'll program it in. It'll take them about 2 weeks to do the programming, and then we should be good to go.
That's our bank, you mean, that gets the deposits?
Yes,
yeah.
For the ATM.
Right. Good.
Which bank are we using?
Johnson, I believe, is that correct?
Is this the part down by the courthouse? Is that what we're talking? I'm not quite sure what we're talking
the
about.
The parking structure.
The structure, yeah. So for
the park and ride, I guess.
Yeah, it's for the payment part. So that's it on that?
Yes.
Okay, so we'll go to the KCDC HVAC.
I'll take that, Mr. Chairman. We're about 60% of the way through with the holidays. We had some people from our side that had time off at the building with the security requirements of the federal government because we hire federal inmates. Really, they need somebody there with them, and we're also looking at that aspect too. We talked to the sheriff, but it's proceeding along. We're about 60% done.
when do you project it to be complete?
We were just talking, we're hoping to be done end of March, beginning April.
All right, the practice range, the shooting gallery.
We came up with a plan to make it usable for the police department and sheriff's department. It involves doing a hanging ceiling with some bullet-resistant panels, and they're level 3 panels. They'll withstand a impact of a 44 mag, and it appeared to be the correct way to go. Now we have a small wrinkle. We found out that the PD and possibly sheriff's department have decided to shoot shotguns in the basement, and I don't believe these panels are rated for shotgun blasts.
Jesus. Oh, you mean slugs?
Pardon?
You mean shotgun slugs they were going to shoot?
They're using number 9 shot.
Well, why would that be rated? That doesn't make sense.
I think it's
we had this conversation because it was just a couple weeks before Christmas is when this came out, and evidently the KPD's been doing this for years. It's not a new development, is what Tom Genther led me to believe. But evidently, yeah, I don't know if it's because of the impact of a single as opposed to a broader, this bullet-resistant stuff is not very resistant to a shotgun blast.
I suppose if it was up close, huh?
That's, yeah. And but
so, it's 9 shot, that's...
Yeah.
Number 9 buckshot.
The thing where, unless you've had a further conversation with Tom, the last conversation I had with him was he was going to go back, though, and talk to primarily the KPD guys, I think, are the big users, and see if they can alter that policy. Do they need to really shoot that downstairs? Can we just use that for the pistol activity? And is there another venue that they can do their shotgun?
Because if they're shooting 9 shot, all they're doing is checking a pattern.
Right, right.
They don't need to do that. I mean, there's nothing else that it could be doing. That's like
right,
a,
for accuracy.
That's a practice round.
Right.
And it's, I mean, they're not actually using, I imagine those shotguns aren't loaded with 9 shot.
In real life, I wouldn't think so, no. That would not be very functional.
I'm sure they're probably slugs or double up.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you can let us know.
Back next week, so we'll get a little bit clearer clarification next week.
Bathroom remodel project.
I'll take that, Mr. Chairman. Actually, Camozzi received the contract. There's two pairs of men's and women's bathroom on the north side, and they actually just started with the demolition today, and we've got a schedule to get them both done and completed in 6 weeks. That's it.
Yeah, and everything we're talking about was all budgeted and planned, so that none of this is new.
No.
Right. Any questions? Okay, then. Highways, new business. No snow. Okay, thanks, Barry. we'll see you now.
Yeah, I'm going to pass out a report. I'll talk about that in a second. But, yeah, regarding snow, even though we haven't had much more than an inch or two at a time, we certainly had our share of events out there that we've had to provide salting and snowing operations. So I probably used, not including this past weekend, about 1,000 tons of salt already this year, which is probably less than half of what an average would be at this time of year, but it's actually double of what we did use last year at this same time. So we've been a little bit busy, particularly with icing on the roads. What I passed out to you is a report that we received from the Wisconsin Department of Transportation, and it's a draft report, but it's pretty much in final form, and it's been released by the DOT. it's a pretty significant issue. In one way or another, it's going to impact all of us in a pretty dramatic way at some point in time in the future. As part of the state budget, governor in the legislature has created a 10-member citizen commission. It's referred to as the Wisconsin Transportation Finance and Policy Commission. What they're doing is they're reviewing problems with the current transportation funding, and they're looking at different investment scenarios on how to expand revenues to cover all of the costs involved in improving and maintaining state highways. The problem that they're having from a revenue standpoint is that with the increased efficiency of vehicles and the higher miles per gallon that they're getting, and then you know, add in things like electric vehicles, the amount of gas tax revenues that they're taking in is substantially less than what it used to be. The DOT's got a very narrow revenue stream. It's basically anything to do with gas taxes, motor vehicle registrations, licensing, anything motor vehicle related, and then there's, you know, you add on some federal funding on top of that, but their revenue stream is very narrow. They've been in this situation for quite some time, and they've been making up the difference by basically taking out loans. And they're, for example, in the current budget, to make up for lost revenues, they've borrowed $762 million just to cover their expenses. So what the commission did was they actually had quite a few public informational meetings across the entire state. They took in a lot of public comment and concern regarding transportation, and they did a couple of things. One thing they did was figured out what the consequences will be if, in fact, there is no increased revenue stream for their operations, and this commission determined that the consequences of not taking any action would be that the amount of pavements and bridges that are considered to be in poor condition would increase up to 42% of the system by the year 2023. That any planned highway projects will be delayed at least 6 years, that any of the maintenance and traffic operations, including the routine maintenance that's done on the roads and bridges, will actually have to have the level of service reduced from what it is today. State transit funding will be reduced. That's things like buses, the local buses, and there'll be a reduction in any funding for freight rail, airports, harbors, bikes, and pedestrian facilities. So, you know, when I say that it is going to impact everybody, if in fact, you know, there is no action taken, you know, that's some pretty serious consequences. So, of course, they did make a recommendation on how to increase the revenue without the type of excessive borrowing that they're doing now. And the commission recommended that the motor fuel tax be increased by 5 cents per gallon, that, and this is an interesting thing, that a new mileage-based registration fee be put in place. So when you pay for registration, it's by the amount of miles that you drive that vehicle, and that it's outlined in more detail in the report that I handed out. But that's an interesting concept. And then increasing the registration fee for commercial vehicles, increasing the fee for a driver's license, and then eliminating the sales tax exemption on the trade-in of value of vehicles. So they all of this is in this report. The actual report itself is going to be released later this month. But this, what I handed out, is just kind of a brochure and a brief outline of what's going to be in that final report. So. Just want to be aware of what's going on that end. I'm sure that there's going to be a lot more discussion about this, particularly as the new state budgets develop. I believe their biennial budget ends in June, end of June this year. So before then, they typically would have the new biennial budget in place, and this certainly will be a discussion point that you will hear about during that process. So, the only other thing I had was that I was notified by the Bob Riedel, the personnel director, that they're proceeding with the hiring process for the highway engineering position that was approved in the budget, so that that's should be advertised for shortly. And I just want to let you know that process is in place and moving on.
Thank you, Gary. Any questions for Gary?
Question. I thought the last time we had talked about the railroad reconstruction, because I saw any other notes that it's Highway S. They did, because I live over there, they did 18th Street there, or L. Mm-hmm. That's Don, I know you. You're probably aware of it, so.
Right, right. Yeah, the Highway S resolution will be on the county board agenda this week, and then in the meantime, we're also the highway. I know that our foreman, Dave Garner, is also trying to get them. He's working with his counterparts on the railroad, trying to get them to do something too. So, one way or another, we'll get that done.
Second.
Moved and seconded to adjourn. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? We're adjourned. Thank you.